Hey everyone, welcome to the Christian Rocketeers podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. I'm your host, Shawnee Pinkasek, and today's conversation is going to be one to help bring clarity to the mission and vision God has given you. I have a phenomenal guest co-host today in Maureen Spell, and we're going to talk about a treasure hunt. That's right, your nonprofit is a treasure hunt. You don't want to miss this incredible episode as God downloads to you that he's written your story and you get to walk it out.
Who are listening, who don't know about you and the incredible work that you do, can you give them a quick synopsis of who you are and what you do?
Yes, I'm Maureen Spell, and I am a Christian life coach helping mompreneurs and women in leadership positions up level past any guilt, shame, anything that's holding them back. And I help them really get clear on how they're making decisions and lining up those with their values and their priorities so that they can build their business, their ministry, their nonprofit without any of that guilt and shame, but they can go forward. They can boldly build it for the kingdom. For sure. And you know what you're talking about, stepping in. When you have this big vision, you're stepping into something new. And let me just help you understand, whenever God asks us to do something new, there's always going to be this friction of uncomfortableness. It has to be there. But a lot of times we'll feel that uncomfortableness and we'll tell ourselves it was the pizza. It wasn't God, right? Because we're feeling uncomfortable and we're telling ourselves, if I feel this way, something must be wrong. But instead, whenever we step into something new, what we're doing is God has created our brain to be wired for our safety, not our success. So this is our safety brain. But when he gives us the vision, it's this opportunity to step into creativity and innovation, which is a different part of our brain than safety brain. And it takes free will. It takes choice to move there. But you have to feel that uncomfortableness because it's your safety brain showing you all the ways this isn't going to work, all the ways this isn't the right timing, all the ways you aren't the right person, because that's its job whenever it's coming up to something new. And so what you as a leader get to recognize this is this feeling is a part of the process. It's a part of moving and up-leveling. And you get to choose, you know what? I always tell myself, thanks, safety brain. I'm okay. And then it's like, okay, what's the one next step that I get to take towards the vision part? Because that's intention. Instead of defaulting over to our safety brain, it takes that intentionality to say, nope, I'm feeling that uncomfortableness, but I must feel that uncomfortableness because I'm stepping into something new.
So what is the next step after that uncomfortable? Because I know I felt that quite a bit because I was like, okay, my kids don't have it all together. I don't have that perfect ministry family.
Right.
Fighting, you know, there was so much. And I was like, oh, it's not picture perfect. And it wasn't supposed to be. I can see that now. But in that moment, I was like, oh, it's not picture perfect. And I even had family members tell me, like, your family's not picture perfect to do this. Like, go find somebody that, you know, higher up that has it all together, like Lisa Turkhurst or somebody like that. That's what they're called for. You're called to sit over here and stay over here. And I remember the back talk of all that they had. They would, you know, they would literally have these conversations on the phone about, you know, why is she doing this? And I will say that's normal, you know, for people to have that and we have to overcome that. But after the uncomfortable, what's your next step?
Well, after the uncomfortable, it's knowing that you are going to have more uncomfortable steps because you're navigating new. You're at the beginning of this journey, of this new journey. So when I say take the next one step, because when we move into something new, our safety brain part wants to know what the next 20 steps are going to be before we take one. And I can guarantee whatever he's asked you to do with the vision part, there's one action step, not 10. He's telling you to do one. And it might be tell someone else about it. It might be go set up your 501c3. It might be go see if that URL is available. I don't know. There's one step. And that's where this gets to be a conversation with the Lord. Okay, what's the one next step? Because we want the security to know that every decision that we're making right now is going to work out. And so our brain wants to know all the decisions ahead of time so it can work it out before it even takes one step. But that's not how a relationship works, right? If he's given us this vision and it's his vision and he's calling us to steward it, then our choice is to just take whatever one action that he's asking us to take that day, that week, that month. And then with that feedback, you will know what your next step is.
Yeah, and you'll know, you know, oftentimes it's prayer. Like, okay, let's take the prayer. Go to the Word. And he reveals stuff as we get in the Word. So many things have been revealed to us through Joshua and Nehemiah, where he said, you know, Nehemiah's building the wall. And that's where some other things have come at Mercy's Light. So there's so many things that can come from getting in the Word. But also, what you said, take the action of go get the URL. You haven't seen it yet? Go get the URL. Go research. Start looking at names that, you know, come up for you often. One of the things I've learned about the prophetic is God will often show you things ahead of time. Like, there'll be, like, these instances of, like, you'll see words and they'll come up. For me, it's the word conduit, and it keeps coming up everywhere. And I'm like, I've never heard this word before. I had a friend make me a prophetic t-shirt. And I thought for sure this shirt would say something like prayerful mom or, you know, something really good Christianese. Like I was all excited. I'm like, and when she gave it to me at church and it said, be the conduit, I'm like,
wow.
Wow.
That's confirmation, right?
Yeah. I had tears. Like, she gave it to me and we were still in COVID. So everybody was, you know, distancing, and I'm in service and my son is standing next to me. He's like, Mom, open the bag. And I'm like, it's worship. I don't want to open the bag. He's like, you got to open the bag. So he pulls it out and he shows it to me. It's this beautiful black shirt with silver lettering. It says, be the conduit. And I start weeping in worship. And then all the songs after that were about being the conduit. And I'm like, God, what is this word conduit? Like, and so I came home and I had to look it up. And so there's instances where he'll show you ahead of time with what, you know, the vision is.
Right.
Have you had something like that in your...
Let me think. I'm not like that type of scenario, but a lot of times I will just get a quickening in my spirit that this is what the next step should be. But I'll tell you, my logical brain will try to rationalize it all the time. And so I've learned over the years, just in faith, like what I'll just say is like, Lord, this is what I'm sensing. So in faith, I'm going to take this step. In faith, I'm going to do it because I believe I'm hearing from you. And you know, he always honors that, because if it wasn't him and it was really pizza, then he's just to redirect. But he honors the fact that I am listening. I'm trying to have this relationship and hearing. But I do want to bring up the word that a lot of leaders, a lot of mompreneurs get stuck on when it comes to starting. And it's this belief that I have to have clarity before I start. And let me just say that is also at times a self-sabotaging belief. It is something that will hold us back because we're waiting on clarity. We're waiting for this index card to drop and be the actual next step, right? And so clarity is this big nebulous word. Like, what exactly does clarity mean? And for one person, it can mean this, this, and this. In your situation, it can be different, right? And so then we wait to feel like we have clarity before starting. But in order to have clarity, you have to actually take action. Clarity comes through doing, taking those steps, not just waiting for you to feel a certain way. Because the feeling will come once you've decided that it takes action to get more clear. Because then you're You're testing things out. You're getting feedback to make those next decisions. You're having those conversations with people to know, like, oh, wait, okay, this is the direction. Yes. And that's kind of, clarity is a honing process. It's not a one and done, but it's a honing process that's kind of tied in with your vision. Your vision is that like poster of like, oh, this is where we're going, right? Mm-hmm. The clarity comes through giving yourself permission to be super curious on what God wants this to actually look like. You have this general vision, but the clarity comes through those action steps and those daily decisions that you make.
Yeah, I think of that walk, but we walk by faith, not by sight. So we take the step of faith and he meets within that. And I also think of being like a little child and that curiosity of like, oh, you know, and not needing, as adults, we want so many answers. Like you said, we want to know the 10 steps before we take the one because we want that safety net of like, okay, I'm safe. I'm, you know, but we're not called to live the safe Christian life. It's not called the safe Christian life. We're called to live what they is more of that dangerous Christian life of getting out there in the trenches and really making an impact for the kingdom. Because if we sit on the sidelines, we wonder, why does our world look the way that it does? Well, it's because we're sitting there on our hands going, oh, I'm watching the news. And, you know, every time you see that on the news and it kind of tears at your heartstrings, you might be called to get out there and do something about it. I mean, I'm not saying right. always, but right. in some instances, mm-hmm. you may be called to step into crisis pregnancy, or you may be called to step into helping the homeless. You know, you may be called to step into the orphans or wherever God has called you to. When you feel those types in your heartstrings, you know, we have found as we looked at, you know, in the purpose journey, we look at 12 stones. And when we did that, you know, as I sat there, I was like, oh, is God leading me here or here? And what does it look like? I look at my 12 stones and I can see exactly why I'm in the position that God mm-hmm. has put me in. Because he outlined it. I didn't see how he was outlining it because it was, you know, but it's outlined. And I think for that, for people, like they don't listen to those mm-hmm. things around them to get that. I have lots of people that come on calls with me and are like, well, I can't move forward until I have full clarity, you know, and then I'll come back to you. And then it's like 6 months later and there's still no, you know, you're like, well, I don't have clarity yet. I am like, you outlined what God was telling you to do.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And the whole clarity thought is actually a security thought. It's the way that our brain is bringing us back to safety until it knows for sure. Oh, wait, okay, this is it. Right. But that's a lie. It's a lie to keep us inactive because we're waiting. We're waiting. Satan would love for us to not act on the dream that God has given us for our ministry. He would love for us to not be effective because we're waiting. And so the idea that you have to have clarity, and I would, if you're actually thinking that, I would actually like spend a few minutes reflecting on what am I telling myself full clarity means? And it probably is, I need to know exactly who to contact for funding, how to set this up, what steps to do, like everything, right? And then it's like, okay, is this 100% true? Do I really need to know all of those? What's the one thing I need to know right now? What's the one thing? And what's the one, in a lot of times then it's like, okay, what's the one thing? Then it's the who do I know that could help me with this? Because a lot of times we assume that God, if he gave us that vision, that it's us that has to implement everything. But a lot of times it's the people he's going to connect you with that are going to be the next answers to all these clarity pieces. And so it's like, are you open to this being almost like a treasure hunt instead mm-hmm. of a legal thing that I'm just, this is the steps I'm to like it's an adventure. It's a treasure hunt. Lord, who are you going to connect me with today? Who also has this vision? Who are you going to, who am I going to be able to bless today because of this vision you've given me? And so then it's this like excitement instead of this dread of I've got to have this all figured out before I take steps. No, what if you get to be super curious and have like be like a child who's just like playing and learning as they go and embracing it, laughing, yeah, having joy? Would you show up for that rather than this dread of it's all on my shoulders? I have to know how to do everything. You brought up about not having the picture perfect family ready for this, right? That's a standard you're putting on yourself or a standard someone else is putting on you that you don't need to own, right? It's like getting super clear of what I'm using to not say yes.
Yeah, and like, I use that because my kids got in trouble in school. And I was like, oh my goodness, my kid's the one getting called in the principal's office. Like, my kid's not the one winning the awards. Mine's the one, you know, getting called in principal's office for being disruptive. And God's like, well, you know, in the future, disruptive behavior can be turned into this. Like, flip the script here. Stop looking at the problem and look what I can do with it. And I was like, oh, okay, more, Lord. And he just kept, it just came more from that. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more with Maureen. And we are going to talk a little bit about how the treasure hunt goes along because she's got a great example of that as well. So see you soon and we'll be right back.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy Slave Family? Sponsors at Mercy Slave Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Light Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Welcome back to the Christian Racketeers Podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your Christian nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. We have been talking a lot about vision and clarity and knowing what step you need to take. So many of you sit on vision and mission because you're waiting for God to reveal to you. But Maureen Spell is here with me. And we have been talking about this amazing adventure, and we've talked about a treasure hunt. So we have a great example of that in a client of ours that is close friends with Maureen, and that treasure hunt. So in that treasure hunt, what does it look like? Like, where will God show up?
You know, when you think about a treasure hunt, you have a map, but it's vague, right? So that map is kind of like the vision God has given you for this ministry, but it's not telling you exactly where to go. You have like an X mark. Like, I'm thinking of a pirate's treasure. Like, mm-hmm. As a kid, we had the X marks the spot, but you had to journey and you kind of like took twists and turns. Some of them weren't right. Sometimes you dug in the hole wrong in the wrong place. But on that journey, like, you were meeting people who would be able to interpret the map differently or when you needed it interpreted. And so a friend of mine, God gave her this big vision, and she was like, this is out of left field for me. But the cool thing is God had already been lining up connections and people in her life over the years. And so when that dream, that vision came for the nonprofit that she started, she kept bumping into, people who were associated with that country, people who had connections in that country. And she's like, that me, a stay-at-home mom, this is my friend, not me. How is this happening? But the Lord knows. He already knows the journey. He's the one who put the treasure there, right? And it's not to frustrate us, but it's to be on this journey. And he has connections and people already in place that he, once we are like, okay, Lord, I'm with you. It's like this lens gets moved. Like you had old glasses on and now you have new vision glasses on, and he opens up. When it shows up, then you're like, oh my goodness, that person was just talking about X, Y, and Z. And that's what I have in my heart. I'm going to go say, you know, it's like these, you've got these new vision glasses and God just shows you these connections when you least expect it.
Yeah. I think about how she would come to us like every couple of days and it just kept happening. She's like, this person is from here and here and here. And she had said she had nobody in her circle. You know, why would God call her to that country?
Right.
And then all of a sudden he just revealed it to her in this most powerful way of how she was the person to be doing this. He had already lined up the people to come alongside her and even more deeper to bring the gospel to these people. And I think about how it took her taking that step for him. Like he showed up and was there all along, but for her, it was taking that step to see it.
Yes. And so part of this, part of being on the this map, this journey, this treasure hunt, is trusting that God has the resources. He knows where they are. Instead of us having that whole responsibility to make things happen, if we are able to just step in and say, okay, I don't know where the funding's going to come, but I'm trusting you that I'll have the right conversations this week. I'm trusting you that the right people will see whatever I've put out there. I'm trusting you. Like, and then it's this, instead of operating with this like anxious tightness, it's this like freedom, this openness to be available for whatever this makes possible. Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but what does this make possible? It makes possible for miracles. It makes possible for new connections. It makes possible for me to maybe even up-level some of my own skills so that I can effectively, more effectively share the vision. And so it's like switching in ownership, really realizing that God's given you this to steward. He owns it. He owns it. And he's already providing for it.
Yeah. And when you do that, like what she had happened, those key, you know, you'll see it, you know, when you, but you have to not sit on your hands. I think of the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, like he gave all he had, he gave his lunch, you know, for him, that was big because he, you know, maybe he won't eat today, but he was willing to put it in the hands of the Lord, you know, in the hands of Jesus. And in that, he did that wonderful multiplication that we get to see him do time and time again.
Mm.
But as long as we're not willing to take it and put it in his hands, he can't do the multiplication because he's not one that would impose his will on us. We have free will. So we can choose whether you'll step into the calling or whether you'll continue going the way that you're going.
Yes.
Can you agree?
Yes. And wouldn't you love to be operating from multiplication rather than addition? Addition takes a really long time, especially if you're like, oh my goodness, how much do we have to fund for this quarter? Mm-hmm. 1 + 1 + 1. I would rather be multiplying than doing addition. And so when we think that our God multiplies our little, that means we can show up, and not that we're doing our little because we're lazy or we're cutting corners. No, it's like sometimes that's all we know how to do. That's the next thing that we know how to give to what he's asking us to do. And we get to trust him to multiply that.
Yeah. And that in itself is phenomenal because miracle after miracle happens in that. We've seen it at Mercy's Light with how the third floor came about. We've seen it with the land. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, and I'm sure you've seen it in your own life and business as well. So after they take that the step they say yes, and they see God bringing it together. What do you think can, what are the obstacles that, you know, I know spiritual warfare is a thing.
Right.
There are those obstacles. How do you overcome the obstacles to stay focused?
Right. Well, I think some of the biggest obstacles is discouragement and overwhelm. And those pop up on the journey. And so I think if we're just aware, to have awareness that there are going to be obstacles, but when they come, it's, I ask myself this question, what does this make possible? What does this make possible? Because the discouragement comes because we usually have an expectation on God, on how we want him to show up. I've taken these steps, Lord, in faith. And so then I should be fully funded. I've taken these steps, Lord, and you should have already brought a board together for me or whatever. We have some expectations that we place on God or we place on ourselves to be at a certain point. But God has this whole different viewpoint of time than we do. And some of the delay is because he's working in us. Yeah. Some in the delay is because he's working in others. Some of the delay is plain old spiritual warfare. And so when we are telling ourselves, I call it stories, when we're telling ourselves stories about whatever our circumstances are, that's when those discouragement comes. That's when the overwhelm comes. That's when the, I want to throw in the towel because see, I'm not the right person to do this. But that's all a lie. Mm-hmm. That's all a lie. And here's the thing. We have to encounter those obstacles. And you might be like, why? What do I have to? Because you have to see how you're going to respond to them. That's how God like purifies us, up levels us, makes us more like him, and has us rely on him. But so if we have that awareness that they're going to pop up, but we don't have to stay in them, they can just be something that pops up and then we use it to propel us forward. Because we're like, oh, here's the obstacle. I knew it was going to be coming on this journey. Oh, overwhelm is trying to come. Okay, I know that overwhelm is caused by trying to think through too many things at once and thinking that I need to think through it all. Cause usually it's a security brain thing, trying to make sure everything's okay. And I can be like, wait, okay, Lord, I'm obviously trying to figure things out because I'm feeling something. I'm feeling tense. I'm probably telling myself that I'm not a good leader. I'm not prepared, whatever. There's our feelings come from our thoughts. And that's what we get to take captive is our thoughts. And so knowing those, that those obstacles are going to be there, but they can be leveraged instead of something that is something that keeps you small and playing small and keeps you like withdrawn, whatever. They're just part of the journey. They're part of the journey. And then we get to watch what we're telling ourselves about where we are in the journey. Because those thoughts are what give us those feelings. And we make decisions based on what we're feeling or how we want to feel.
Yeah, and I think back to in the beginning of what I would tell myself to where now what I tell myself, it's more of declaring, for me, it's declaring the promises of what God has revealed to me and standing on them, those declarations of, you know, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes.
The declarations of, you know, they will be oaks of righteousness rooted, you know, they're deeply rooted. And standing on those, not only for the ministry, but for my family as well. I think back to earlier this summer, our son was extremely angry, out of control, and just so, I was thinking of, like, they were talking about group home and all this stuff for him because he has autism. And God told me to sit and praise. And I'm like, no, I need to call the counselor. No, I need to, like, I need to do the logical thing. Because if I don't do the logical thing, then this is, you know, that ahead mm-hmm. talk about. And the miracle was in the praise and sitting with my journal and just praying over him and see, you know, praying what I wanted to see. In, like, I would say about 2 to 3 weeks' time, something lifted in him. it wasn't anything we had done. It wasn't anything like that. And it lifted. And God was like, see, I told you that was the formula. And often I think he gives us the formula, but because it's something so sit and be still, rest in it, praise me for it in advance, declare it, we're like, no, I got to do this. No,
right.
I got to call this person and get, you know, I got to make, and I did it. I made the group home calls. Like I was like trying to please desperately help both. And they wouldn't answer me. And I'm like, they're not answering me. And God's like, you're not listening. I told you to sit. And I'm like, but do you see he's causing fights in the neighborhood and everybody's saying all this stuff. And he's like, you're listening outside again. Would you just sit? And when I sat, that was where the miracle came.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with his therapist, and she was like, what did you do? Was it more time? Was it this? Was it that? Did you pull back from business? Like, what was it? I'm like, if I tell you, I think you're kind of like, I go, first of all, the nature of the work I do, let's go there. And she's like, wow. She's like, something lifted in him. And it was that idea that praise opens prison doors. You know, praise opens our mouth. We declare, all through Psalms, David declared the praise of the Lord. He had the struggle in being the king and all that was on him, but he would open his mouth and he would praise the Lord. He gave thanks to God. He saw the goodness of God beforehand.
Yes.
And I think that's where we get stuck as leaders. We don't see it, so we don't want to. We want to stay in the, I can't declare it because it's the name it and claim it. And I don't want to do the name it and claim it, so I won't declare it. And so the enemy keeps us stuck.
Because we because our thoughts give us our feelings and we act on whatever our feelings are, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we are able to align our thoughts with what God says, when our thought is aligned with what his word says, that's the shift. But we need to be aware of our thinking. And those happen a lot of times in these moments where we're frustrated or we're feeling less than or whatever, because we get to, what am I telling myself? I'm telling myself that I'm not the right person for this. Of course, then I'm going to feel this heaviness. Of course, then I'm going to avoid doing any fundraising and sharing about it because I don't feel like I'm the right person, because that's the thought, that's the belief I'm carrying. But what does God say in his word? Can I hold on to that? That, you know what? I am worthy. He has made me worthy through the blood of Jesus. He has made me worthy. I am more than a conqueror. Not by I am my own. It is all through him. I am able to be that conqueror. And that's the holding on to, instead of name it, claim it, that's actually aligning your thoughts to be in line with his thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it takes that awareness part. And that, as leaders, it takes a little bit of stepping back, slowing down, and being still. And I'm not talking hours. I mean, seriously, you can think about your thinking in 2 minutes, but it still requires you to have to stop your mind from moving on to the next task, to the next task, to the next task. That's where us as leaders sometimes get stuck, because we're always forward thinking and we don't allow ourselves to be present in the moment, because we're always thinking ahead about what we need to be doing, but then we're missing what God's saying to us here in the moment. We're missing the time with our kids there in the moment, and because our mind is ahead. And so this becomes a discipline that we get to incorporate into our life, because that is actually the most powerful piece when it comes to building our nonprofit or our business or ministry, is understanding, are my thoughts really in line with what God's saying to me? Am I giving time to even hear what he's saying to me? Right? Because we tell ourselves we're so busy. And that's one of the things we tell ourselves. We're so busy. I don't have time to take a pause. But that's actually a lie. In order to have even more out of your time, think through your thinking. what are you really telling yourself about your vision? What are you really telling yourself about where you are with your nonprofit in funding in everything or whatever stage you're at, right? What are you really telling yourself? Don't lie to yourself. This isn't the time to say, this is what I should be thinking. That doesn't, who cares, right? Be honest with the Lord. He already knows what you're thinking anyways, right? But can you be honest with yourself with what you're thinking? Because it's those things that we tell ourselves, like, I should be farther along than I am. If I was a good nonprofit leader, I should have already done X, Y, and Z, but I haven't. So I must not be a good one. Like, those are expectations. Those are those shoulds. But yeah, we have to be aware. Like,
yeah. And the comparison that we do too, you know, I know for us as the conference ministry, I would compare, oh, well, it's not going this way because this person's ministry is here and flourishing. And the thing was, I didn't know what they had to do to get to where they are today. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. You don't know the muck and mire that people have gone through to get to where they are. And the fact is, he's working in you. So stay in your lane. Look, you know, don't compare. Don't compare, because everybody's story and everybody's journey is different. And, you know, you can't just, the Bible says, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And so that's going to rob you, like you said, of not being able to be in the moment and not be able to enjoy the journey. And I think enjoying the journey is the biggest thing that I love what you said earlier about the treasure hunt. You know, when we think of it like that, of like it's a treasure hunt and we just get to go along the steps to get to the treasure, of whatever that looks like, of the treasure, that makes it more. One of our favorite rides at Disney is Pirates of the Caribbean. So you get on that, and I think of it like that now. Every time I go on that, I'm going to see that. I'm going to say, okay, there's Mo, and, you know. But, I mean, it's so phenomenal because it's an adventure life with mm-hmm. God. It's not this struggle that we make it out to be. It's this just adventure that he's written your story. You get to walk it out.
Hmm. And I love that part. He's written your story. You get to walk it out. Many times we put this expectation that I already should have walked it out. Mm-hmm. I already should have the skills. I already should know how to do this. I already should have everything in place. Like, once again, I'm using the word should. Why should you? Why should I? What's this expectation I'm putting on myself? This is the beginning of your journey. You aren't that person yet at the end. That's going to be fantastic. Once you've walked through like that first phase of building your nonprofit, you're going to be a different person than you were at the first time. And then when year two hits, you're going to be a different person than you were when you first started. And that's the up level. Are you willing to embrace the growth in you that's required to run your nonprofit?
Yeah, because it's an incredible, incredible thing. You know, he grows you. He transforms your family, the lives of those around you, as you grow. And mm-hmm. often those obstacles that look like obstacles really aren't.
Yes.
That we have in our mind. And they're not really obstacles. They're just things we use as excuses. Mm-hmm. And I think of a long list of excuses I hear from leaders who would be phenomenal, you know, out there getting, sharing their story, either writing the story or whatever it looks like, but they're still waiting on it 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. They're still waiting. And God is just waiting for them to step into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's take one more commercial break and we'll be back to wrap up with our final thoughts.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a Rising Star Lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine. And I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya. The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others, so I left my law to begin my own business. I founded two nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life.
I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit, Ministering to Thrive.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits.
Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.
Well, everybody, welcome back. We have had an incredible conversation. Thank you so much, Maureen, for your time, wisdom, and for teaching us about the treasure hunt. Where can people connect with you? I know you have a number of things coming up, so do you want to share what God's doing in your business right now?
Sure. I am, I love to work with moms, whether they're homeschooling moms, moms in business, moms in leadership, because we're all in leadership. And you can find me at MaureenSpell.com is my website. On Facebook, it's the same, MaureenSpell.biz. And we have one-on-one coaching, some group coaching opportunities, one for homeschooling moms, one for moms in leadership. And we'll be starting some new cycles of that coming up soon.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for all that you do. And I'm excited for what God's going to do ahead in your business and just furthering the kingdom.